Well, today we come to the end of the series of sermons, Building a Culture of Honour. However, I'm convinced that we never actually finish. Developing a culture of honour is something that we have to keep working at, and we have to keep working at it for two reasons. The first is it will take a while before it naturally and easily becomes part of who we are, a value about who we are as a people. I was telling them at 9 o'clock service that there's a reasonable body of research that says that you need to have 60 hours of input before that piece of learning actually becomes part of your life. That's a bit of a bother, isn't it? You see, if you hear something once, you've heard it. If you hear it several times, you've heard it several times. But before it comes, and I have this kind of thing I've been talking about in various levels these days, you know, we have information, formation, and transformation. Information is when you get to hear the stuff. Formation is when it becomes part of who you are as a person. And transformation is then what happens when after that's taken place. Does this make sense? You see how that works? And I was talking with the bishop a little while ago about mediation, and I said, you know, I realized it took a number of years from when I first started mediation training before I just instinctively functioned out of that mode. And when I went home, I actually did the arithmetic on it, and it worked out to the 60 hours before I, sort of period of time before I started to function as a mediator, conflict, you know, and dealing with conflict in that sort of way, instinctively. So I guess I want to say, I want to encourage you about something, that because you've heard it or you think you've said it once, remember our kids? You said it once and they never got it. You knew that they did, yeah. Now, sometimes they've got to hear it several times before it starts to be formed and shaped within them and within us. That's the truth. There are a number of other pieces of information around that kind of education theory, which I would also subscribe to. And it's all built really on that 60-hour sort of thing. It fluctuates. The second thing is, though, is that we risk slipping into old habits. Or at least I do, speaking for myself. I think I've got it sorted, then the next day, you know, something crosses my path, and I realise that, you know, I've got to start again, and I've got to do it again, and I'm like a cork, I keep floating to the surface. And so these are the reasons why we've got to keep working at it. To honour those who we know and love is easy, but to honour those who we are not so sure about or plain don't like is quite another story. I'm constantly challenged by David, the king in waiting, who never took advantage when the opportunity came to destroy Saul. Remember? What did he say? Lord, forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Or people like Ananias in the book of Acts. This time he was sent to Saul of the New Testament. Saul had come to Damascus to persecute the Christian community. And when Ananias, who was very unsure of what he was being told by God to do, calls Saul brother, I'm sure that he was thinking there is a lot of stuff Saul has got to get sorted out before I really believe what it is I've just said. However, his belief in God, God's call, opened the way for what God had in heaven to be released into Paul's life. And the church, or Saul's life in the church. As we know, Saul went on to become Paul, the great apostle of faith, missionary to the Gentile world, and a writer of the major portion of the New Testament. And so here we are, you know, we are in these situations which might be a bit of a challenge for us, but God has an agenda, he has an intention, and if we follow that through, we will see outcomes. And I wonder sometimes for myself whether some of the people who I did not honour, that the story would have been very different at the end of the day had I done so. If I had actually really believed what God had in heaven for them and believed and spoke that into their life, where the outcomes could have been different. I'm very grateful to the knowledge of the forgiveness that God has extended towards me and his mercy and grace. Though I fail, his generosity is there that I do not need to live in the guilt of that failure, but that I am no longer under condemnation. Praise God. And it is true for us all. This series then marks the beginning of building a culture of honour in this place, and I will not be satisfied until this culture of honour becomes a way of life for us as a church, and it spills over to the community about us as a gift. For this to happen, there will need to be some major change in the way we think and behave. A revolution is needed. A revolution that looks beyond what we know and presses forward to the new things God would have us do. I'm inviting us to become dissatisfied with the status quo. And as someone who's kind of, you know, getting a little older than I once was, the status quo is actually looking very nice. But I realize that if we get stuck in the status quo, we can be actually stuck. So I'm inviting us to understand that if we continue to do what we have always done, we'll only get the same results. In the church of our time, this is very serious, as we are in decline, generally speaking, and becoming increasingly marginalized in our community. For this change to occur, some of the things that we have regarded as being really important and essential, our sacred cows, may need to be turned into gourmet hamburgers and grilled. Danny Silk says, we must have permission in our church environment to challenge the sacred cows of our day, just as Jesus did. Remember, Jesus came and confronted the Jews, the people of his day who knew more about God than anyone. He rebuked their love affair with their own interpretation of his kingdom. Sadly, most of them refused his invitation to the sacred cow barbecue. So where do we begin? Well, Paul wrote, and God has appointed to the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, various kinds of tongues, and so on. There is a clear leadership emphasis in what Paul wrote. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. And he did so for a good reason. You see, our church, the church of which we are part of, and this has been historically true, is pastorally centered, not apostolically led. Our priority is people and keeping them comfortable, happy, and safe. Now, on the surface, that sounds right, but it has a serious problem. You see, people have choices, and if they aren't happy, they'll go someplace else. The difficulty with this is that our energy goes into making sure everyone is happy rather than living in obedience and relationship with God. Because of human nature, we generate conflict. Like it or not, you're a conflictual being. Just ask your family if you're unsure about that. But in church, so we are told, we're not allowed to have conflict. Or so we think. So what we do, we paste on smiles and hope that it'll go away. In the extreme, this is not healthy. In fact, in any setting, it's not healthy and very damaging to the good news God has given us to live and to speak. However, if we were to follow what Paul is laying down for church order, people will be cared for, but for the right reason. It is not enough that we scratch people where they itch. As we look at what is modeled for us in the New Testament, we find that the priority is different. It is about heaven, about reproducing heaven here on earth. This is something we ask for every time we say the Lord's Prayer. And I talked about this when I talked about heaven invading earth, that series. Danny Silk says, there is a new core value for the activity of the spirit world, for the saints having their eyes and ears opened by the prophets, for hearing the heartbeat of heaven and becoming aware of the activity of heaven. Signs, wonders, and miracles bring people into God encounters that radically change the way life is lived here on earth. No longer is it an environment of fear and reaction, but a proactively establishing heaven on earth. of making the prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," a reality of life for believers and the community around them. When we first honour God and then honour what He has placed in each one of us, when we honour the giftedness that He has given, when we value the apostle, the prophet, and the evangelist as well as the pastors and teachers, we will honour everyone, and our priority will be God and His kingdom and not us and our comfort. You see, the thing is this, and I don't know how to put this more strongly. Now, I look at each one of you, and as I've said many times, you've got 10 out of 10 from me before you've even opened your mouth. Because I believe what God has placed in you. I believe in the gift He has given you. And it's a good gift. And probably more than one gift. And He has made you somebody who is precious in His sight. And you need to believe that. You need to believe in the giftedness God has placed within you. And trust it. Now don't hand me anything about the fact that you're too old. As you've heard me say before, Moses started his most critical ministry at the age of 80. And he did it for another 40 years. And I don't think any of you have reached the latter end of that yet. You know, the biggest problem in this is not that you're gifted, but that you believe it in yourself. The second problem is that we don't believe it in other people. You've heard me say before, there was a man I heard of in the days when men wore hats and took them off around important people. And he used to say, when I'm with children, I take my hat off because I do not know what important person is amongst them yet to be made. So we need to grasp the stuff and learn to honour it in yourself, learn to honour it in each other, including those who irritate us. The reason why the prophetic and the apostolic gifting has not got a high profile in our society as today is because they tend to be irritating. And we need to be irritated sometimes. We need to be shifted out of our complacency. And we need to be grateful for those who speak prophetically. We need to be willing to be led. And it's, you know, it's the old story. When we are led in the order of God and the way He's laid down, and all things will be taken care of. But if the gifts of God are thrown out of balance, one is overemphasized over the other, then we land up with trouble. And we've very often lived in a troubled church, in my view, as a result. Danny Silk again says, "This is where we stand as a movement in our generation. We are in the throes of a reformation. No longer will we tolerate the status quo of an externally governed existence. No longer will we accept training in powerlessness. No longer will we live as servants and slaves. The religious motivation of the pending wrath of God and the ideals of a small life will no longer be options for us. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. We are in training for reigning with Him as never before. We now expect to be powerful, living abundant life in Christ until the kingdoms of this earth become the kingdoms of our God." I like his vision. We need to run after it and grasp it with both hands. So this culture of honour sees beyond the present and grasps what God is doing in heaven and believes and prays it into existence here on earth. It looks for building up one another and never for the pulling down. It looks for solutions rather than feeding our fears on the problems. It believes in a supernatural God who does supernatural things in the most amazing way. A culture of honour releases you and me to be the people God has called us and made us to be. I want to conclude today with a story. It is a story that has its beginning in a church that pursued the kind of change that I'm talking about, that built its life upon a culture of honour. In such a place, the miraculous happens. It is a real story of how this change brought an amazing result in the life of a young boy, his family, his school, and his community. And again, it's in Danny Silk's book, A Culture of Honour. Buy the book, borrow the book, steal the book, and give it back later, and get to read it for yourself. Anyway, there was a 3-year-old boy named Pablo who was diagnosed with a developmental disorder which approximates to autism. He was so agitated that his mother could not hold him, kiss him, or be affectionate with him at all. He could only say one-word sentences. He was unable to say his name or age and had no concept of colour or shape. He would spit out any new food introduced and only eat one texture of food at a time. That means that his parents would give him a piece of bread and that was all he would eat. Give him a piece of potato and that was all he would eat at the time. Not like a mixed food like we would be used to. No one could take him out of the house, not even to go shopping, because of the scene he would cause. When he got disturbed or anxious, he started pounding his head on the floor or the wall. He was oblivious to people around him and completely trapped in his own little world. He had never slept a whole night in his life. He was commonly up from 2 or 3 in the morning. You can imagine how worn out his parents were after 3 years of unsettled sleep. He had a brother who was totally scared of him. Got the picture? It sounds like hell on earth, doesn't it? Absolutely horrific. Pastor Steve one Sunday morning talked about the goodness and the faithfulness of God and God's heart towards people. At the end of the message, they began praying for those who wanted what had been prophesied in the testimonies that day. Pablo's mum came up and several leaders laid hands on her in proxy for her young son. They began to command healing and the release of miracles and the release of heaven into the situation at her home. Pablo's mum believed the prayers, and the next morning she woke up and thought, something is changing. She walked up to her son and asked, "What is your name?" He replied, "Pablo." Can you imagine what that would be like after 3 years? She asked, "How old are you?" 3. The people who stayed with him while she was gone reported to her the changes that had been going on since the previous day. The miracles began as soon as she received prayer. Doesn't that sound amazingly biblical? The centurion servant? No. And now he now says his name, his age. Got ahead of myself. Pablo was still. Where are we? Months later, Pablo is still sleeping through the night. He's not hitting his head anymore. He now says his name and his age. He can answer 80% of the questions asked him. He is now speaking in complete sentences. He knows the difference between 4 colors and knows the names of the rest. He knows the difference between a circle and a square and a rhombus. And as Danny Silk says, I don't even know what a rhombus is. He can count up to 20. He started to singing songs. He is starting to play with other children. His mum took him to McDonald's without incident. They are able to hold him, to hug him, to kiss him and be affectionate with him. The therapist who had been working with Pablo cried as she told his mother what she was witnessing. She could not comprehend the improvements in him. But the kicker for this mum, the reason she wrote it all down, was that the principal of the school Pablo attends came out and met her at the car one day in tears. She said, "Note this. This is nothing short of a miracle that has happened in our city." My question is this. What sign of God's presence could happen here in Picton as we build a culture of honour. What extraordinary changes would take place in your and my life as we build a culture of honour? As we stick at this as a vision to pursue, as we chase after it with every ounce of our energy, as we start looking at those whom we have difficulty talking to, who we have difficulty even relating to. Now, I know about this kind of stuff. When I used to work on the streets, I sometimes wonder now as I look back and I think, I wonder how much change could have occurred in some of their lives had I honoured the child, the adult, the person that I was working with. I know it works because I did sometimes. And some of them even attempted to take my life. And I saw the changes that occurred in them because someone dared to believe that they were different to what they were. Wouldn't leave them labelled with the labels that society had pinned on them. Let's break ourselves free of the labels that we have often carried and honour the gift that God has placed within us. Let us release the labels of people around us who perhaps we have put on them or others have, and honour them for whom God has made them. Let us honour one another. Let us honour the past, but more so pursue God's intention and honour the future that God has for us. Let us build a culture of honour in this place. Father God, you have called us to be your people. You have made us not to be slaves, but to be your servants, but even more, to be your children. Help us to rise up and honour the gift that you have placed within us, to honour the gifts that are in one another, to seek to call out the giftedness by honouring one another, encouraging one another, loving one another, accepting one another, forgiving one another, that you would build your church in this place in a way that has never been built before, that you would mould us and shape us, we would place ourselves in your hand, that like the potter we would become the shaped person that you have made us to be. And we would declare that you are sovereign and Lord over this place. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Richard,
yes.
John used to say that